This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Waking up today in Cleveland. Sad, sad day, I know, for some of those Cavs fans. Hey, Jensen, it's baseball season always, right, in Cleveland? And then football's right around the corner.
Oh, God. We're already talking quarterback competition and the nauseating soap opera that that is. So I could see the writing on the wall, man. Our only FOMO yesterday, as we'll get into, is we didn't play those alternate spreads, as Will Hill talked about. But congratulations to the Knicks. We'll party like it's 99. Great job for us on the ice last night. If you tailed us, a really, really great OT victory. Whew. And then we had history on the diamond yesterday for Major League Baseball. Oh, by the way, Selection Monday in the books. We know where yours truly is headed here at the end of the week as well.
We have a lot to get to. Matt Youmans is going to help us talk about a lot of these subjects as well later on this hour right there from Las Vegas. Craig Peterson give us his Major League Baseball selections on the day as well. And Noah Beanick is going to be on the program again here, Jensen, to talk exactly what you're talking about with some college baseball right here on a Tuesday. But yes, New York, it's all about the sweep. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
No sweat as it gets yesterday. So, yes, for the first time in 27 years, 1999, remember, there's like Y2K, is the world going to end? The Knicks are going back to the NBA Finals, Jensen. So I don't know if this is one of the signs of the apocalypse. Maybe we have to look at that a little bit more closely. But here the Knicks are. We don't know the opponent yet. It's going to either be San Antonio or OKC. We'll get into that later. But 130 to 93, the overs do get there. With the Cavs only scoring 93, the Knicks do the majority of the work there, Jensen. And this really was exactly what we talked about yesterday. We saw one team waving the flag and the other team saying, we're going to take as many days as we need to get ready for the finals.
Over as quickly as it started, it felt like, Dave, another massive win, the lead highest in the fourth quarter at 45 points. Heck, the Knicks led by almost 30 in the first half, and they were up by what, 18 at halftime, 68-49. The fourth time this postseason, the Knicks were up by at least 19 after 24 minutes. And I'll tell you, going away is saying something. They absolutely pasted not only Cavs, but Dave, think about this number. All but one of the New York Knicks wins this postseason have been by double digits. Their average margin of victory, 23.7 points. Just utter domination by this squad. Congratulations. Back into the NBA Finals for the first time since I was in high school.
38, 30, 30, and 32. Those are their point totals yesterday in the quarters. Cavaliers, 26, 23, 22, 22. They were being outscored, Jensen. I mean, the best quarter the Cavs had, they only got outscored by 7. That's how bad it was for the Cavaliers yesterday. James Harden, a real no-show in the second half. He took one shot in the second half. That's it. It was off a steal. He missed the three-pointer. Cavaliers, they are done. What about what we saw in the night on ice? And how about the Carolina Hurricanes go north of the border? I've been talking about it this entire postseason, where home ice really hasn't meant a whole lot, and it didn't again yesterday. So overtime again and again in extra time, it's Carolina that gets the job done 3-2. So again, hopefully you had Carolina in the under yesterday. You cashed those tickets like we did, Jensen, and now they've taken it back. Home ice advantage, 2-1 so far in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep, Andrei Svechnikov at 14:06 of OT, and we said it yesterday, excuse me, that I felt that this would be potentially another low-scoring game just because it looked like Carolina's defense was really back to where it was at the beginning of these postseason series, and they made it stand up in kind. 2-1 lead now in the series, as you mentioned. Gostisbehere and Taylor Hall scoring in regulation there for Carolina. Frederik Andersen... 11 saves. That's it. That's all you needed. I tell you, it just tells you more and more about where this Carolina Hurricane team, not only back on their feet, but now imposing their will. I mean, Dave, you're not winning a lot of postseason series if you're only getting 13 shots on goal here. So it is a remarkable job yet again. We talked about Frederik Andersen potentially in the Conn Smythe conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe something to look to now, knowing that Carolina has regained the series lead and been able to really, these last two games, kind of show what they're made of.
And that's what I did yesterday. And I actually took our advice that we discussed when we were breaking down these numbers, and I kept looking at Freddie Andersen. I said, plus 550, I'm in. That number is down today here, people, after the win. And I took that with the notion I thought they'd win last night. It's only down to $5. I still think it's playable out there if you have not gotten on board yet on Frederik Andersen. But now I'm sitting with that plus 550 here for Conn Smythe. Feel better about that if they can get by Montreal. That defense is suffocating. How about some defense from the Astros, pitching and defense? A combined no-no here for Houston as they no-hit the Rangers. And Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, absolutely dominates again, Jensen. So we're getting some pitching here and defense, at least in Milwaukee and Houston as of late.
Absolutely fantastic. And again, a fifth time in Astros franchise history that they've had a combined no-hitter. No other team has more than two combined no-nos in franchise history. Tatsuya Imai, Stephen Okert, and Dave, one of the great names so far in baseball this year, Alimber Santa, combining for the 17th regular season no-hitter in Astros history. It wasn't even close. 9-0 Houston wins. If you tailed me on the Astros +1.5, that was never a sweat. You mentioned the Miz, and we've talked a lot about this NL Cy Young race and what it looks like with what Shohei Ohtani has been doing, Paul Skeens, Christopher Sanchez, Jacob Mizorowski live and very, very much at the top of the headlines here. 57 pitches of at least 100 miles an hour. Dave, you and I can only do that now getting in our cars, but this was another dominant performance from the budding ace of this Brewers pitching staff.
It's amazing because he's the second betting choice right now to win Cy Young at plus 370. Paul Skeens has dipped to 4-1. So the Miz is shorter than Skeens. Christopher Sanchez, by the way, is the favorite right now in the National League at plus $2. Okay, if you had this ticket, and we know you didn't have this ticket, I don't believe, from the Action Network put this out here, but who had the Nats parlay home run hitters generational wealth parlay $10? If you had these five guys to hit at least a bomb, it would have paid $285,843.55. Now, I don't think Jensen anybody has that ticket, right? But the Action Network putting that together after what the Nats did yesterday, and they just keep on winning.
They do. They absolutely bludgeoned Tanner Bibee early. And speaking of putting it away, not a good night. If you've had the Fade Cleveland parlay last night, a Knicks Nationals parlay was feeding families as well. Not as much though as a generational wealth parlay. Those five homers coming in the first three innings, but James Wood, Luis Garcia, Curtis Meade, CJ Abrams, Jacob Young, and they were not cheap. They were absolute bombs and lasers, and just another example of what this Nationals lineup. Remember, we talked about it yesterday. The Nats are number five in offensive wins above replacement as a team, and you look at them now in the conversation of some of the other elite squads. They don't suppress runs very well, Dave. But they have been scoring in bunches, and another double-digit total for them yesterday.
Colton Cowser, second day in a row, he's going to walk-off home run for the O's to get a win. And I don't remember Ferris being sick nine times. Nine times? Yeah. How about this? Nine in a row for the Cubs? Jensen, what's going on the north side of Chicago?
Brother, it is not good, and they have got a lot of issues. I have lost a fair amount of change here trying to end the streak. We may be putting the Cubs on ice at this point. By the way, I don't know how in the hell my Orioles money line got home last. That is one of the great seesaws, back and forth and extra innings. Just when you think they're toast, then they find ways to come back. 9-7, if you're an underbetter in that game, put the ice pack on your head. That's a tough one to take. But what a rousing finish to that one. Lot of dynamics at play yesterday in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, 2-2 going to extras ends up 9-7. That is a bad beat if you had the under there yesterday. Okay, so the baseball tournament is officially set for 2026. The road to Omaha is set, Jensen. Any surprises, and do you want to give the big reveal of where you're going to be headed?
Yeah, I'm headed to Morgantown. So our friends in West Virginia, about 3-hour drive from me here, door to door. It is one of the most insane atmospheres in college baseball, Dave. Country roads take me home. It's going to be that kind of environment. Noon Eastern, first pitch on Friday, ESPN2. Myself and the great Tom Hart, we will have the first game of that regional, Kentucky and Wake Forest, a really dynamic pitching matchup. Kentucky was a bubble team, Dave. They were hoping to get their name called. They did. This is one, I think, the toughest regionals of the 16. We'll obviously dive much more into it with Noah Beanick and really break out some betting opportunities, both in the futures market and to win some regional markets as well. But I got to say, when we also visit to tomorrow with Kyle Peterson, he is going to be in the Lincoln Regional in Nebraska. And wait till you see the Cornhusker faithful, Dave. It has been a minute since they've hosted there. It is going to be a raucous environment. One of the great stories in the Big Ten this year. But, buddy, we are set up for what looks to be one of the great tournaments here in recent memory.
Oh, I know my mom is excited to hear that you're going to Morgantown. We got a lot of family and friends in that area as mom grew up on Wheeling Island there. And I've got a lot of friends and family, obviously, that went to WVU. So you're going to be in for a great treat there at Morgantown. That is for sure. All right, we do have a lot to get to here on this Tuesday morning. But, Jensen, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we saw last night. And with the Knicks now, I do wonder if we have to rethink this whole how big, if at all, an underdog they would be against the Spurs. We understand they would be an underdog against OKC. But I want to kick that narrative down the road a little bit and see about the Knicks. If it's San Antonio, who should be favored in that series? We'll get into that next right here on Beast by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Week to the VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Matt Hume is going to join the program here in the next segment from Las Vegas. But it's all over in the East. The Knicks sweep away the Cavaliers yesterday, 130-93. I say again, 130-93 elimination game. But Kenny Atkinson can wake up today and say, hey, it's really tied 2-2 when it comes to analytics. So I can't wait to see what Game 5 looks like back in New York. So, Jensen, it's all over for Cleveland. We kind of figured that. You and I thought this team kind of waved the white flag after game three. And again, it goes back to game one. And I said it right here on the program the next day. I thought that that was the death nail for this team. I did not think they'd be able to recover, and they did not. Now, Jalen Brunson, for his part, people that don't really have not followed his career too closely, this was a guy at Villanova who was a star there with a bunch of other stars at Villanova, goes to Dallas and kind of plays second fiddle there to Luka Doncic. And then all of a sudden gets moved to New York and really emerges. Remember the conversations 3 years ago? Can a little guy really be the face of your team and really lead you to where you want to go? Well, Jalen Brunson heard all of that as well. And I think he had a little message, and it was a quick one, that he wanted to give out to the Knick faithful last night.
The belief that the organization has in me has been amazing. And it's something I don't take for granted. And it's something that not a lot of people get the opportunity to do so. So I'm very thankful. And it's an honor to be here in this city and for this organization and this with my teammates. And obviously these guys have my back, and they've always had it. And wouldn't share that for the world.
I mean, you saw, if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network this morning, Mikal Bridges next to him up there at the podium, and he's kind of looking at Jalen Brunson because you could tell they're getting emotional. And, you know, it does mean something. Jensen, you know this as a professional athlete, when a team, an organization believes in you. And not to say, look, I get it, you had Luka Doncic, it's Dallas, it's a different time. But you did make a command decision, right? That, you know what, this was our backup point guard here in Dallas. And now to see him blossom in New York the way he has, and to do it again in that city with that fan base, to get back somewhere they haven't been since 1999, they haven't won a championship since 1973, and they got one leg to go here. I don't think a lot of people thought Jalen Brunson would be the guy that leads them. But here we are, Jensen, and that's not lost on Jalen, as you could tell from that soundbite.
Okay, from an athlete standpoint, Dave, if I presented you with the opportunity to stay in Dallas with Luka, you're probably playing second fiddle. But you got an opportunity for a five-year, $269 million extension. Or you can leave, go to the most scrutinized sports market in North America, and sign for about $100 million less on a four-year deal. Would that be something you might be interested in? It's a gamble that paid off. And now Jalen Brunson is the face of this franchise. And what he's been able to do, not only himself, but, you know, the mini Villanova Wildcat squad that he's got alongside of him as well with Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges. It has been one of those tight-knit teams. Dave, I've been on teams where the chemistry is amazing, where you feel like, you know, brothers in arms. I've been on teams where it feels very high school-esque. Everyone has their certain cliques. Certain guys hang out with certain guys, and you kind of go your separate ways. When you watch the Knicks play and just how they interact on the court, this kind of tells you all you need to know about how close the group is, how on the same page they are, and their play reflects it, man. I mean, you don't average winning by over almost 24 points a game the way you do in this run without being a very tight-knit tribe. So it begins with the guy in the middle there in Jalen Brunson. Everyone kind of takes their role after that. And one other thing to throw at you there, because from a player prop perspective, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, when he was with Minnesota, was the man. I even go back to when Chris Bosh came over from the Toronto Raptors to the Miami Heat, and he had to kind of, you know, take a back seat. I give Cat all the credit in the world. He's getting his money, but it's not the way that I think he might have envisioned it. I don't think he cares. Chance to go win a championship now, the way that they play. Wow, Mike Brown, well done. This front office, Mr. Dolan there saying in January, I think we got a chance to win it all. Well, you're four wins away from it, and maybe the most expensive finals ticket in history coming at MSG once we get there. Cannot wait to see what that resale market looks like as well.
Yeah, they were having parties last night back in New York. You know, you saw the who's who that were, you know, big Knicks fans, the celebrities, the whole bit. And they were watching from New York at a watch party. So they are ready to have some games here at MSG coming up here in the finals, whether it's against San Antonio or OKC. By the way, Jalen Brunson, yesterday's price for the Knicks to win the title was plus 260. Today's price is plus 210. The reason why I bring that up is Jalen Brunson is now plus 260 to be finals MVP. So that is now the old team price is now the individual price for Jalen Brunson. So those numbers are on the move. And again, I bring this up in context of, yes, they're going to be dogs against OKC if it's Oklahoma City that comes out against San Antonio. Still a big if, tied up at two, that game five, pivotal game five tonight back in Oklahoma City. But against if it is San Antonio and Wemby's having the coming out party that, you know, we're all watching it in real time. But I do wonder if it was San Antonio and the Knicks here, Jensen, could you make a case that the Knicks should be favored over the Spurs? Because I think I could make a case in the betting market that, yes, they've got the one guy, the alpha, in Wemby. But I like the way this offense is playing. They're blowing teams out. Jalen Brunson's not even playing fourth quarters because they don't have to play him in the fourth quarter. Jensen, I think you can make a strong case that the Knicks are the most balanced team remaining.
Yeah, I can see where that would be an influence on the market. Okay, so if you make the series price, $1.45 series favorite for the Knicks, or would you go shorter than that?
I would make it shorter. I'm looking at like $1.20 if it's against San Antonio, something like that in that market. Heck, if you can find $1.10s either way, I think that'd be the fairest price out there because I do think it would be that even. Again, if you like the Knicks at plus 210 today, you can grab that number. But I wonder what that number would be with Oklahoma City if it is OKC, depending on how they look and their injuries. Because I do think that plays a big part now in starting to get the prices for these series, just how banged up Oklahoma City is with Jalen Williams and Mitchell and et cetera. So their depth is getting eroded here. That's not the case with the Knicks. They're as healthy now with OG Anunoby playing back at his pre-injury level here. I would make a case at plus 210. That's a pretty good, if you like the Knicks, that's as pretty good price as you might get, and certainly a lot better, I think, that you get. And dare I say, they could be favored against San Antonio. So food for thought before you see game five tonight between Oklahoma City and San Antonio. By the way, you do have a future ticket on the Knicks, correct?
I got a couple. And by the way, thinking about that NBA Finals price, if the Spurs do win, they would have home court advantage too, because they have a better regular season record than the New York Knicks did. So something to factor in there as well. Okay. So way back when you and I were knee deep into handicapping the Thanksgiving slate for the NFL, we were getting into those early portions of the NBA season. And it was a time in which I had taken a couple of futures out on some Eastern Conference teams. Well, I did get the Knicks at 16-1 back on November 17th to win it all. In April, you and I had some fun into the first round of the postseason and said, okay, we feel the East is pretty wide open. Why not parlay a little geographically some of these teams with their major league counterparts? Well, the Knicks to win the NBA title parlayed with the Yankees to win the World Series back on April 24th, Dave. 287-1. I put a little 50 spot on there to win a little bit over 14,300. And let's start monetizing beginning once that Spurs and Thunder series culminates. Because as you mentioned, that price will go a long way into what ROI we want to take out here and be able to play in there. So just two tickets that I know for me, very excited that we know we're going to guarantee some profit, at least on one of them, if not both. I got to feel very, very fortunate with the way that the Knicks now will gain some decided rest advantage over both the Spurs and the Thunder. That is going to be massive, obviously, once we get into that NBA Finals.
I love the first ticket because, and again, I mentioned it at the time when you made it, because I did like the Yankees, obviously, to win the East. We'll find out. They're trailing still Tampa Bay. Despite a great win yesterday for the Yankees in comeback fashion. I do like the price point that you got the Knicks ticket on combination with the Yanks, because at that point in April, remember, they were about 6-1 to win the East, but look at your number to win the whole thing, Jensen. And again, right now that's plus 210. So think about how you have now got a huge, huge ROI here potentially as if they can win this NBA title and have that second leg be live. And I do think you're live here against either OKC or San Antonio. And that's the point I'm trying to make this morning here, people. If you like the Knicks, what you've seen, plus 210, I think will be the best number that you're going to be able to get. So you can wait if you want and see what happens. But again, if it's against San Antonio, it could be close to a pick 'em price, maybe a small favorite for San Antonio. And I would make the Knicks the favorite, by the way, in that series. But I think the market would still go with San Antonio. If it's OKC, they would be a dog. But I'd be surprised if it's close to $2. So that 210 might be as good as it gets, and you got a much better number just over a month ago. Let's see what Matt Youmans thinks about everything we've seen so far in the NBA playoffs and beyond. That's next right here on VSiN by the Bookies.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross, and Jensen Lewis. We'll get to the changing numbers in the NHL after what we saw north of the border last night in the Eastern Conference Finals. But right now, a pleasure, as always, every Tuesday to have Matt Youmans join the program this early in the morning. Of course, you check him out at night on VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Give him a follow on X at MattYoumans247 and joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Matt, good morning to you. I know that the Cleveland brethren waking up today, we're going to hear from James Harden a little bit later on in the program. He says, one, he played great, Matt, and two, he thinks that Cleveland was the better team. Well, what do we make of the delusion of the Cavaliers this morning?
That's exactly the word I used last night when I heard the James Harden comments. After what we heard from Kenny Atkinson, that analytically the Cavs had won two of the first three games. These guys are completely delusional. And James Harden, I thought, played, for the most part, a horrendous series. He was obviously a negative on the defensive end of the floor. Too many turnovers, bunch of missed threes. I mean, you can go into the numbers and break down how bad he was. In elimination games, I think in the playoffs, he's something like 1-for-17 from three. It's just the Cavs appeared to basically lay down and quit last night. And they kind of quit at the end of game three as well. So if you get swept out like that, it doesn't mean much when you win the number one seed and have the best record in the East when you get swept out of the playoffs like that. And it all started with that game one collapse and Kenny Atkinson, for some reason, leaving Harden, one of the worst, maybe the worst defensive player on the planet, on the floor in the final 5 minutes when the Knicks just abused him time and time again. So I don't know. I'm glad we can put the Cavs away and move on to more important matters with the Knicks, who I believe can make the NBA finals really competitive. And I think they'll have a shot.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And Matt, I've already played the Spurs on the money line for tonight. I think momentum continuing to go with them. And we have to highlight the lack of depth now for the Thunder and the issues that they've had in their rotations, the defensive lockdown. Do you agree that San Antonio potentially the side, if not the outright winner tonight?
I do like the Spurs +5.5. And, I don't disagree with your money line play here. It's going to be really interesting. Who steps up for the OKC side? What Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably going to get is 20-plus. He'll take a bunch of trips to the free throw line, but A.J. Mitchell out, Jalen Williams probably out. And you don't have a lot of guys who can step up and score if Alex Caruso is not going to do it. He was scoreless in the last game. And Jared McLean, I think McCain was, 1-for-10 from the floor? So some of those guys are going to have to step up and support SGA. But I think the Spurs kind of figured some things out. I was really disappointed in the way they played in game three in San Antonio because basically I would say Wimby got pushed way outside to the perimeter, and he became a 7'5" three-point shooter. He's got to get into the paint, attack the rim more, and I thought they were a lot more aggressive and more focused on getting Wimby into the paint and around the rim in game four, and he was a lot more effective. I think in game four, he finished with 33 points. Yeah, he had 11 made field goals. Only three of those were threes, and he went to the free throw line 9 times. So I thought the Spurs were a lot smarter in the way they played in game four and they probably learned some things and hopefully apply that to game five. And like you said, the one question I have about the Spurs, I think that Stephon Castle is probably going to step up and play well. What are we going to get from De'Aaron Fox? What are we going to get from Dylan Harper? Hopefully those guys play a little bit better. But I'm with you on this one. I like the Spurs tonight. I'm going to take the 5.5 instead of the money line, but I expect this to be a game that goes to the wire.
I see it the same way, Matt. And I said it even after the game one, the thrilling pull-up three from Wemby. And I said to Jensen here in the program, hey, every time he shoots a three, that's a win for OKC, whether it goes in or not. That's exactly what you want out of OKC defensively, because that guy around the rim, they have no answer whether Holmgren looks lost inside. Right. I mean, no answers inside against Wemby right now. By the way, speaking of the Knicks, at +210 to win the title, Jalen Brunson's +260 to win the MVP in the finals. Would you rather play the Brunson prop, or do you say it's only 50 cents and the Knicks are so diverse offensively with so many different options? If you like the Knicks against either one of these two teams, just play the shorter number of +210.
Yeah, I think the Knicks are probably a little bit too diverse to play that. You know, it's not like the Super Bowl where you say it's going to be Matthew Stafford or somebody like that. You know, if the Rams win, Stafford's going to be MVP. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit too diverse for the Knicks. I think a good question is, which team would the Knicks rather face? I think they would rather face the Spurs, and it's tough to say that you would rather face Wimby, but the Spurs, a little thin on the bench. They are young and inexperienced, and OKC is a championship team that's already been there. I think you want to play the team that's younger and hasn't been there before, right? I think the Knicks probably want to face the Spurs, but it's awful difficult to say, you want to face Wimby, because I don't know what type of answer anybody's got for him. But I think that's probably the matchup would be better for the Knicks.
Amen to that. Do we have an answer if you are a Colorado Avalanche fan? Because my goodness gracious, Matt, this has been one of the most impressive and maybe odds-wise as critical an upset potential in a series that we've seen for a juggernaut in the Avs from the regular season into this spot. And now John Tortorella's crew has the Golden Knights on the precipice of punching their ticket to the Stanley Cup final. Your assessment of where we stand and maybe a potential play for us at T-Mobile Arena tonight?
Yeah, I was at the game three Sunday night, and the Knights are down 3-0 in the first period, and the place is like a funeral home or a library. It was very quiet, and didn't have much going on. Mark Stone scores early in the second period, and the place comes to life, and the Knights' comeback is on. If you can win a game down 3-0, I don't think you're going to lose this series. And that was the game that the Avalanche absolutely had to get, and they blew it, didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Not only that, Nathan MacKinnon went down with a knee injury. MacKinnon's their best player, obviously, and when he goes down and it looks like he's questionable to play with that knee injury, that's bad news for Colorado. And by the way, how about this in hockey? Teams that fall behind 3-0 in a best-of-seven series prior to the Stanley Cup Final, 0-49 all time.
Yep.
And it's just not going to happen. The Avs are not going to come back and win this series. I would not bet them tonight. The betting market's been really strong on Colorado in the last couple games, and that obviously has not paid off. And I think it's probably a better bet. This is a round to pick them. I'm not sure if I'm going to bet it tonight, but I think the Knights are probably going to close out the series. Look, if the Avs can't hold the 3-goal lead in game three, they're probably not going to win game four with MacKinnon banged up.
Yeah, I don't see any hope for Avs backers here, but they still are a $1.09 betting favorite tonight, which is perplexing to me too. Matt, on a nightly basis now, we're seeing like the Yankees with a great comeback last night in the ninth inning against the Royals. Tampa Bay loses a wild one against Baltimore. And we're getting that nightly 5-cent, 10-cent adjustment in the divisional races here down the road. So the Yankees back up to $1.40. Remember, they were close to a $5 betting favorite a couple weeks ago. What do you make of those divisional prices that change almost on a nightly basis here at the end of May?
Well, we got such a long way to go. We got 4 months to go. I think a lot of people are skeptical that the Rays have enough staying power to hold off the Yankees. But the Rays looked pretty sloppy on Memorial Day. They were terrible yesterday before errors, bullpen blew up, but they're still a solid team. I think it's interesting. I want to throw a couple things at Jensen here quickly because we're going to run out of time. But mm-hmm. Chase Burns is going for the Reds today against your Mets, Super Dave. Mm-hmm. The Mets have not announced a starter yet. You know, Chase Burns is -117 today. In May, he has made 4 starts, 25 innings, 12 hits, 2 earned runs, 25-6 strikeout to walk ratio. The Yankees are starting Cam Schwitler today. If you're going to play the Yankees, you got to lay the run line here against Bailey Falter, who's got some horrendous numbers. And Bailey Falter hasn't pitched a lot, but he's been knocked around like a BP pitcher. Jensen, either of those plays on your radar today, the Reds and Burns about -117, or the Yankees laying the 1.5 at Kansas City?
Absolutely love Burns in that spot, just continuing dominance. And again, until you see a really healthy Mets lineup, if you can generate that kind of swing and miss, I love it. You're right. I think the only play for the side would be the Yankees run line. But I'll tell you, that under kind of coming down already this morning from if there's some nines out there, just because, you know, the way Kauffman Stadium is with the fences pulled in a little bit, we're starting to get warmer weather. I actually do kind of like the under in that game, too. But right with you. With Schlittler and Burns, I think those are the correct sides for sure.
All right, quick college baseball question for you. UCLA +550. Thumbs up or thumbs down? The Bruins are, 51-6, but how tough has their competition been? Do you like that bet or not going into the NCAA baseball tournament?
I think it's good, buddy, because you're going to have opportunities. Whoever comes out of my regional there in Morgantown, if it is West Virginia, I think they can give them a run for their money. Wake Forest, too, could be equal to the task. In soccer or World Cup terminology, Matt, I think I have the group of death or the regional of death. There's 3 teams that could come out of Morgantown between West Virginia, Kentucky, and Wake Forest. So it's going to be fun to watch.
That's an official thumbs up for the 550. You got a good number, too, on UCLA, because we're seeing $4 out there, Matt. So you got a really good number. Check him out, Visa Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the network. Give him a follow at Matt Eumanns 247. Matt, we appreciate you, as
you
always.
Thanks,
NHL
buddy.
Changing numbers there. Next, right here, Visa by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
The clock is ticking on one of the best VSiN Pro offers of the entire year. This is your final week to get a full year of VSiN Pro, which is normally $240 for just $199 when you sign up now. We're going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day by using the promo code PRO. You're going to get our daily best bets from all of our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, matchup analysis, 24/7 live video, plus full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. So you're going to get all of our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the entire 14-month period. This offer will expire May 31st, so do not wait. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code PRO, P-R-O, at VSIN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Matt Eumanns in the last segment. Again, like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. You can listen on your time as well when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. But I did want to talk some puck with you here, Jensen. And we saw last night Carolina get another overtime victory. There's not a lot of separation here, right? So it's 2-1 Carolina, but both those wins have been in overtime. Montreal, pretty decisive game one win when they snatched away home ice. Carolina has retaken home ice here. What do we make of this? Is Carolina style clamp down? You know, Anderson doesn't have to be too good in there because the defense is going to be pretty good in front of him as well. And that style has gotten them now 2 games away from a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, they're hitting early, right? Gostisbehere gets out at the 8:24 mark, past Jakub Dovish off the left post. Montreal, though, responded, getting the equalizer at 15:28. Newhook with the strong forecheck, and then Jake Evans found Mike Matheson for the top shelf finish. Carolina then, about a minute later, gets Taylor Hill past Dobish. And then Frederik Andersen, like I said, he faces 13 shots all night, basically, and that's it. And no goals, though, in that third period. Montreal did get that power play from Lane Hutson on the give-and-go from Cole Caulfield to make it 2-2. But then you get the overtime back and forth. Nick Suzuki had a chance with a 2-on-1. Matheson then rang one off the crossbar. You found Svechnikov at 14:06 with a great pass from Hutson. Beat Dobish with the wrister. So yet again, another OT finish for Carolina, and feel equal to the task. But Dave, it has been a relentless style the last 2 days. I think that is the most that is the top line takeaway for me, is the layoff from game one. It almost feels like an afterthought watching what we've seen in game two and now in game three. Yes, they both end in overtime, but the special teams execution, just the wearing down of Montreal, it has been the calling card for Carolina this entire postseason. And man, oh man, has it come through in these last two wins.
They're already a bigger favorite tomorrow, $1.42 betting favorite tomorrow night against Montreal in game four. So obviously Montreal, you know, you fall back 3-1. If you lose potentially two in a row at the Bell Center, that doesn't bode well here for your prospects the rest of the way. So again, a very, very important game, obviously, for Montreal. That total sitting right at 5.5 for tomorrow night. And again, we were on Carolina in the under yesterday. Gets home, got dicey, 2-2 after two. Thankfully, no goals in the third, so there's no empty netters. That would get you over that total. You got to think in those terms here if you're betting those totals here, Jensen. But again, it does feel like that recipe. And for Freddie Andersen, again, 5-1 out there right now still for the Conn Smythe. If you think Carolina is not only good enough to get by this series in the same manner, but then potentially to get by VGK and or Colorado, looks like VGK at this stage, since again, as Matt Eumanns pointed out in the last segment, no team in this stage in the finals has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's never happened. So Colorado would be the first to do that if they were able to win four in a row. So we feel like we're headed for Carolina and VGK down the road here, Jensen. Would you rather play, if you like the Carolina side, would you rather play the team, which is about plus $1.20 to win the cup? Or again, that $4 difference, not quite today, on Freddie Andersen here at 5-1 to win Conn Smythe?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Freddie Andersen is the play. I won't be invested, at least for that. As it kind of pertains to game four, just looking ahead, you know, what do we have? Another 5.5 as far as the total goes. I'll probably wait a little bit, see if the market materializes later on tonight into our show tomorrow morning. But with Vegas and Colorado specifically, this again feels as though the change of mentality and even the psychology. Think about getting Cale Makar back in that dressing room, David, and getting out to the lead that you did, and then having absolutely no resistance for five unanswered in game three. I wonder where we are, and also knowing that McKinnon is banged up the way he is. This feels very similar to what we just watched on the hardwood between the Knicks and the Cavaliers last night. It has been completely one-sided. Mark Stone coming back has been immense for VGK. And we obviously know what Mitch Marner has done this entire postseason. It's going to be tough. If he continues this kind of point streak, Dave, and the consistency that it's going to be tough to take the Conn Smythe away from him. And I know that just, can you imagine the Maple Leaf faithful watching Mitch Marner get the Conn Smythe and VGK wins it all? That has been one of the keys here, especially with Stone out, but now with Stone back, massive addition there. Let me ask you, if you are the Colorado side, do you make the change? Do you sit Scotty Wedgwood and go with Blackwood, or do you kind of ride it? This is how we got here. We got one last stand, and we got to let Scott Wedgwood at least have the start to try and prove his worth.
All hands on deck. I thought it was a calculated error to not make a goalie change in game three when you've got that 3-0 lead, and it starts to evaporate rather quickly at 3-2. Midway through the second after the Mark Stone goal there, you kind of felt the emotion and the momentum switching at that point. So I would make the change going into a game four tonight. And again, if you don't have Nathan McKinnon tonight, do you want to be laying $1.09 here on the Colorado side? It's different from the Cavaliers' perspective. And look, it was a cash cow yesterday playing the Knicks because we felt like we saw the team quit at the end of game three. I didn't see that with Colorado. I felt like they got beat. And there is a difference, right? They got beaten that third period, I felt, against VGK. And they were outgunned without Nathan McKinnon. So can they switch their style? I mean, they kind of did in the first round against the Kings. They played it closer to the vest, better defense, better goaltending, won low-scoring games. I felt like the Kings did everything they were supposed to do and still couldn't get out of that series, obviously, or even make it competitive. So that would be the style tonight if you're Colorado. Ironically, the under would have to be in play to me, because if you take too many offensive chances, which they took when it was 3-3 in the third, and that left them susceptible in the defensive end, and you saw it happen in real time to give up the hurdle goal, and then you give up the empty netter late. So to me, that's the way you got to play, Jensen. You have to almost play, if you can, a Carolina style if you don't have Nathan McKinnon, because without him, Jensen, I just think offensively, it's too much to ask Makar to do everything as the ultimate two-way player. And by the way, back to your Marner point here for a second, I would rather, though, play the shorter price on VGK at plus $1.55. Marner's plus $1.85 to win the Conn Smythe. It's only a 30-cent difference, kind of like we talked about with Matt in the Knicks. I don't necessarily want to just get the extra 50 cents or 30 cents in this regard. And again, I would rather play the Anderson price, which I did play at 550, versus the Carolina's going to odds on. They're minus $1.10 this morning to win the cup. Mm-hmm. Think about that. So that surprises me a little bit in the market adjustments here. So I'd rather play the VGK side at plus $1.55. Remember, if they do win tonight here, Jensen, they're going to go to what? Even money to win the cup after tonight if they get a sweep in four?
Yeah, it kind of feels right. Total wise, to me tonight, Dave, I could see like a 4-2, 5-3 empty netter scenario here where Colorado would have to sell out. And remember, we are still dealing with a VGK team that leads the NHL this postseason in high danger chances. So all the traffic in front of Wedgwood or Blackwood or whoever they decide at this point, whether it is Wedgwood to start and maybe they make a change. Let's not forget what Carter Hart's meant. Also, the netminder on the VGK side, been outstanding. I don't know if it's worth a shot for him as far as Conn Smythe. It wouldn't be something that I would invest in at this point. Yes, yeah, that's probably too long for me. And just kind of knowing that if you're going anywhere, you're probably going to Frederik Andersen on the Carolina side. To me, no play just yet, Dave, but if I'm leaning away, it would definitely be the over for the total tonight between the Avs and VGK.
I am going to do exactly what I did last night with my Cavaliers futures ticket at 21 that went up in smoke and play the other side. And it was a nice way to get back. Not all the funds I would have gotten that 20-1, but a solid, solid day. And if VGK doesn't wrap it up tonight, I'll keep betting them and then hopefully get to a game seven, ideally, and have something coming back the other way. But that's the way you can monetize some tickets here, people, as I did last night and plan to do again tonight on the hockey side. All right, we got a lot to get to here coming up. And we are going to have Greg Peterson join us in the very next hour to talk all things Major League Baseball, get his plays, and hear from Kenny Atkinson. Very interesting comments next. Right here in Beeson by the Books.